This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Who's our next guest, Tess?
Thank you, Macca. Macca, in all the noise that's happening in Canberra at the moment, you may have just forgotten that there was a Royal Commission into aged care. And that Royal Commission has actually tabled its report. It's been received by government. Government have actually made an announcement of about $500 million, which really is less than icing on top of the cake.
No, they actually kicked it down the road.
Okay. We want to talk about that, and we want to talk about what it found and what it means for our communities in particular. So we have Claire Allen, who's the CEO of ACON. ACON is the peak LGBTIQ plus health organisation in New South Wales. Good morning to you, Claire.
Good morning and thanks for having me.
And sorry, Claire, I got criticised earlier by Tess because I did say ACON, which was AIDS Council of New South Wales. Tess corrected me and said, no, it's now just known as ACON, so I apologise, but I still think of it as the AIDS Council of New South Wales. Sorry.
That's okay. A lot of people know it that way, and unfortunately I'm not the CEO as much as I would love to be.
Oh.
I'm actually the National Program Manager of their program, Pride in Health and Wellbeing.
So well, is Nick Park still your CEO?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, I thought to myself, how could it be that ACON has a new CEO and I didn't know about it?
That's right, and just we didn't message the CEO and say, what happened? Okay, Claire, tell us about...
I was also going to warmly, you know, congratulate you and invite you to come back on again, but we will anyway. But Claire, talk to us about aged care.
So the Royal Commission put down its final report a couple of weeks ago now, and there were 148 recommendations, and unfortunately not a single one of those recommendations specifically related to LGBTQ people.
Not one?
Not one. They were lumped in under the broad category of people of diverse background, but not a single one was specific to the community, despite fairly expensive consultation.
And tell me, was there any discussion about the issues and the needs for LGBTIQ plus people in the narrative?
Yes, it is brought out in more detail in the 2,000 plus pages.
Of course, 2,000.
So while there is some great movement forward through the use of training and the understanding for needs for culturally appropriate care and better data collection and quality standards, unfortunately, in the final recommendations, the LGBTQ community has been really just lumped in with people of diverse genders more broadly.
Why do you think that is? I mean, I do struggle sometimes to understand, you know, why it's a sin of omission. You know, why... You know, LGBTQI plus people are just as concerned about aged care as anyone else. And in terms of groups that are at risk and concerned about aged care, I would suggest it's fairly heightened. I'm not saying it isn't for other people. So why do we get sort of pushed aside and, oh, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's in the report, but we won't make any specific recommendations around it. You know, the government won't do anything specifically around this. Why do you think that is, Claire?
I think it's a combination of multiple factors. Partly it's around the fact that the community can go past and be invisible. And we have really poor data. If you have a look at any of the data that we collect, that the government is estimating only around 3% of the population, when we know it's 11+% of the population. So part of it is the fact that we're invisible. The other part is the government isn't really aware of how big a community we are. And the fact that all the other things, like the other forms of elder abuse, will also happen to LGBT community members as well as specific forms of abuse. So I think it's just a bit of an ignorance to the differences that the community has and how they will need some specialist work done to make sure that they're included, in a similar vein to the fact that other diversity groups were called out.
Claire, I understood that the National LGBTI Health Alliance was actually rolling out a national rainbow project amongst aged care services across the nation. Is that not some sort of recognition around the issues for our communities?
Yes, they have a silver rainbow.
That's
it. Are doing a lot of training on LGBTQ specific aged care needs. So that is happening, and they were heavily involved in the consultations for the Royal Commission as well. They've also got Sam Edmonds, who's on their Diversity Subcommittee, the Department of Health Subcommittee, and she does a lot of great work in advocating for all diversity groups, but specifically for the LGBTQ community as well. So it's not that there's a lack of experts out there, a lack of enthusiasm, which is why it is so disappointing. But I guess part of it is when you're throwing away the whole Aged Care Act and starting again, trying to call out absolutely everything in a single report is going to be tricky. So what I'm taking away from it is that there are some great moves forward in the training of staff, the need for inclusive culture, the better accreditation standards and minimum standards of care, and then hopefully where they're referring to the LGBTQ community more broadly as needing specific learnings for diverse communities, that will then, the devil will be in the detail. We'll get more of a voice then.
Well, only if these recommendations get adopted, and at this stage we don't Absolutely. Have any insight into that, so it's all theoretical at this stage, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And a lot of the recommendations have dates years in the future, so none of this is going to happen very fast.
Can you give us a... an optimistic timetable, Claire?
It's tiring, doesn't it,
Matt? I mean, I'm 62. I'm 62. Is this going to happen before I
need to actively engage with the sector?
Before I need to actively engage with the sector, which could be any day, judging by how my knee's feeling this week.
Well, I can't talk to your specific case, but for recommendation 30, which talks to diversity more broadly, they've got two dates on that. One, which is July 2022 for an overall improvement and better collection of data, but then 2024 for better consultation, which is going to be absolutely vital.
Oh, right.
And what year for better outcomes?
Oh, that's 2058. I'll be 100 then.
Look, I'm sorry. It's becoming a bit of a joke, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a tragic joke.
It is, and so many people are in need of aged care, and so many people are already so marginalised and vulnerable just by benefit of their age and their health, let alone the fact that their identity is going to be potentially problematic in an aged care setting as well.
I'm getting a little bit tired of this debate.
What sort of cost? What difference would, for example, $90 billion make?
Oh.
So the $500 million that the Prime Minister put forward as an immediate result was less than 3% of their annual spend.
Yeah.
Okay, so you need to spend 30 times that minimum.
At least.
Okay, so that's $15 billion. So $90 billion, what I suggest is perhaps test this submarine program, which is costing $90 billion. We turn those submarines into on-water aged care homes.
Or underwater.
$90 billion. So this is the sort of the priorities, isn't it, Claire?
Yeah.
$90 billion on a leaky French sub.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you compare it to other leading OECD countries, we're spending significantly less than the majority of other OECD countries. We're spending less than 2%. Most are spending around 4% of their GDP.
Wow. Wow.
It's frustrating because we in Victoria here know exactly what impact COVID had on older folk and the aged care system, and the aged care system began to become unstuck. We began to see some of the flaws in the design and the structure of that model that currently exists here in this nation. And we have heard nothing about any repair to that whatsoever. I just find it a bit tiring and a bit frustrating. We've just thrown a whole lot of money at, you know, people having half price airfares to designated holiday zones. Imagine if that $1.5 billion was invested in aged care infrastructure.
No, let's cancel one.
It would be wonderful.
Let's cancel one submarine. That's about $15 billion.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. Claire, look, we thank you for your time. Thank you for your advocacy. Keep up the great work. And sorry that we thought that you were the CEO. But
that's all right. I will take it.
That's all right.
Take it as a compliment, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks, Claire. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.